So this week I want to pick up on my last one on courage, so the fourth one. I want to pick up in Joshua chapter 1, which is the famous courage passage. Joshua chapter 1. I'm just going to read to you a few verses from verse 5. And this is addressed to Joshua. Moses is dead, and Joshua now has the responsibility of taking God's people into the future. And in verse 5 it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Be strong and courageous was said to Joshua three times in just a few verses. And I want to come to this subject of courage again, but courage to accomplish new things. Courage to accomplish future missions. God told Joshua on three occasions in only four verses to be courageous. Now, when you read that, if you just read it, you say, yeah, Joshua obviously wasn't a very courageous man. But Joshua was. He was probably the most courageous man in Israel at the time. It wasn't that Joshua lacked courage. So why would God say to Joshua, be courageous? After all, wasn't he the one who had done so much previously? Why is it necessary to tell someone who has seen God do great things in the past through their life, why is it important to tell them today to be courageous when facing new things? Many of you have done extraordinary things in the past, and you've got that to fall back on. But God says to us today, I want you to be courageous for today. And there's something very important about this, that you don't just rest on your laurels, that once we were great, once we did great things, once we had great courage, so I'm going to be courageous again, because I've got it in me. But that's not what God is saying. He's saying to Joshua, yeah, you're the one who defeated Amalek in the valley of Rephidim. You were the one who went into Canaan with Caleb, and saw the promises of God when everyone else saw the giants and the problems. You are the courageous one who has stood up when others have not. But I want to tell you today, you need new courage, is what God was saying to Joshua. He needed to, at this point in his life, to be ever so courageous. And the reason he was being asked is because Joshua was about to face a totally new challenge. And he needed to be reminded of the source of his strength. He'd never been this way before. He'd never done what was coming to him before. He'd never stepped into what he was about to step into before. Moses was dead. He was now leading the people of Israel. He'd not gone this way before. And all the strength and the skills he learnt when he defeated Amalek was not necessarily the skills that he could now take into this next season. He needed something new. He needed courage from God to do what was set before him. Yesterday's strength and victory will not be sufficient for today's mission. And if we think that we've got what we need because we had what we needed, we're going to fall down when the challenge comes and the things that we need to do need to be done. We're not to depend on old habits, former experiences, past glories, or our personality traits to get us through our present situations or future mission. We need something new. Joshua needed to turn to God to find strength and direction from God. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that Paul wrote there about some of the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness. and the challenges that they faced. But what he said was, this has been written for our admonition and for our encouragement and for our instruction, so that we too will learn the lessons that others had learnt before. Then he finished off by saying, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We learn lessons from those who've gone before us. And one of the lessons we need to learn here from Joshua was, as courageous as he had been, he needed to encounter God before facing new things, before facing his future mission. We need to be careful lest we are depending upon our past glories rather than present grace. And we need to be careful lest we think that what we have been in the past will determine what we will be or do for the Lord in the future. I praise God for the things of the past. I look at this building. It took a lot of courage for people to step into this place in the way it used to be. It took a lot of courage when people gave sacrificially. And some 200 and some odd thousand, 100,000 pounds poured into this building through this congregation to do these works. It took huge courage to achieve that. And all from a place of actually being weakened. It took huge courage to knock walls down. I remember a picture, I've got a picture of Andy Cook. This stage here used to be right up here, if you don't remember, and it teared down, and it took a huge amount of effort to rip that thing out. Now I've got this picture of Andy Cook, who emerges from in the dust with a mask on the top of his head. Black, sooted face. The mask should have been on his face, not on his head, obviously, for those who enjoy health and safety. It took great courage to step in and say, I will do something, I will make this happen, because God has given me the strength to do it. People worked here tirelessly day and night. Brian over here, it took great courage for Brian week after week to turn up here and say, okay, what can I do? I can build, I can do this, I can do that. I remember these walls and Brian and Bob screwing these panels together that were going to be bolted into these walls. It all took huge courage to do this. It wasn't just a simple task of stepping up and saying, oh, we've got a DIY project. It took huge courage. But even the courage that was displayed here in getting us into this building in the way that we have, we cannot depend on that courage for the future. That was great for then. We celebrate it. Yes, God is good. But we need something different and something more for what we're about to do. And that's important to us. There were three things that were necessary for Joshua and the people to go over and possess that which God had promised them. Three things, I think, that God was teaching Joshua and teaches us too. First of all, you have to have a determined heart. Courage for the future starts in the heart. It doesn't start with bold declaration. It starts in the heart. When the Lord told Joshua he was to be strong and courageous, he was sharing with him the place where the victory for Christians begins. It's in the heart. Courage for current or future mission can only come from a transformed heart, a heart that stands before God. And that's through the Holy Spirit. If we must have the fullness of His Spirit in our hearts. Last week I was talking about church planting and how Marie and I started our journey with church planting a little bit. And when we started planting churches, I was saying last week, we did it with our hearts. We put out chairs with our hearts. We carted trailers with our hearts. We wiped down tables with our hearts. Because that's where it starts, right in here. It isn't just there's a job to be done. There's something inside, an encounter with God that says, I will do this because I'm doing it with all my heart. And not just the duty. But after a while, I was sharing last week how after a while you get organized and everything starts to happen. And then you stop serving with your heart and you start going about your business. But what we realize is we're losing the heart to serve because we're just doing the job that's necessary. And God wants to bring us back. And that's why he sifts us at times, to bring us back to the place of wiping down tables, clearing halls, preaching the gospel, reaching the poor is done from the heart and not as a matter of duty. And Joshua, I think, was being taught that we must have the fullness of God's Spirit in our hearts if we're to accomplish this task. So Joshua was being taught he needed a determined heart. And the two words which are used to encourage Joshua are deep and profound words when seen in Hebrew. So be strong was a phrase that was used over Joshua. The word strength is a word that means to seize or to hold to. The word can mean to catch or to bind. And the Lord was telling Joshua he needed a fresh determination in his heart to lay hold of, to seize, to hold on to the commitment necessary to gain the victory for Christ. There's something that has to happen in here that causes us to lay hold of the commitment necessary to do what God has called us to do. It's not just enough to say, yes, I've got courage and speak to nations that we'll never see in a courageous kind of a way. We can pour out rhetoric about how we'll reach the ends of the earth, very courageous statements, but it takes a determined holding on to commitment to actually step into that and make it a reality. And Joshua was told to be strong. Yes, the victory belongs to the Lord. And yes, God has given them the land, but they could not possess what they had permission to possess without determined faith in God to do so. See, we can say, yeah, God will do this. God will open up the doors. We could say with this place, of course, God is making it all possible. Yes, that's true, but it also takes someone to pick up a hammer and start doing the job. A determined commitment to be strong and courageous because we know that God has called us into what we're about to do. For example, the Lord tells us that those who seek Him will find Him. There's a responsibility on us to seek Him and we will find Him. So when we come to worship like we did this morning, and I love the way it was led this morning. I love that kind of worship. I also love the big jumpy praise and hop up and down and get very energetic. But I also love those moments where we could just rest in the presence of God and just feel the Spirit's presence in that way as well. But there is a participation in us that must happen if we want to encounter God. We don't just sit here passively and hope that river spoken about will wash over us. We go, woo, here we go, we're in the river. There's something in here where we need to be determined to lay hold of God. So it says, those who seek me will find me. Does that imply these hiding? Why would God hide? Because that's what he implies. Seek me and you'll find me. Well, can't you just stand in the middle, Lord, so we don't have to do too much seeking? And I know I've told these stories before, and I'm not going to tell them all again, but you know I've spoken about in the past how God doesn't hide his ways from us. He conceals them so we, the hungry, will find them. He's not hidden. If you want to hide something, you conceal it so it can't be found. You bury it. You put it in a safe so no one can find it. That's not what God is talking about. He's saying he's concealed so that only the hungry will find him. Why is that? Because the revelation that God sets before us, if we don't lay hold of it with a hungry heart, the responsibility that comes with the revelation will bury us. We cannot take the responsibility that God lays before us through the revelation of what's happening next if we're not pursuing it with deep commitment and hunger in our hearts. If we're just passive, what will be, que sera, sera, I can assure you that we won't meet God. Yeah, I'll just sit in the meeting. No, it takes an active seeking participation to find what is concealed so that the hungry get a hold of it. See, God will lay before you his ways, but only you will only find them when you search for them with all your heart. Be bold, be courageous, pursue him with all your heart. If you don't, you'll only be playing guessing games. I'd love it for God to lay everything out in front of us. Here it is, Lord, all your ways. I can promise you this, if he did that, if it was all scattered around here and we could pick him up, oh, look what God wants to do in the future when I'm 93. If we could see all that God knows about our future, it would bury us, because we would not have the courage or the responsibility needed to lay hold of it. You need to be hungry. You need to desire it with all your heart. That's what I think God means when he says, for example, that those who seek him will find him. Gone off track a little bit. Also, the word courage has in its essence the phrase to be alert, to be strong and alert. The word courage means to set up a priority which nothing can remove. That's courage. We have a mother at Jubilee House. Many of you know what Jubilee House is. It's a home for those who are needing temporary accommodation. We have 12 rooms, up to 35 to 40 people in the house at any one time. And in one section, we have a woman with three sons, one of them 16-year-old, who I think has got into trouble with a few drug dealers. And one day, his mother, I'll tell you, was, first of all, is very slim, very slight, and about 5'4". Very small lady. Tony, you may have met her, room one. And anyway, one day, a very large, burly man burst in through the front door to do whatever he chose to do to this 16-year-old lad. He wanted to beat him to a pulp, basically. So he broke in through the front door, raced up the stairs where the 16-year-old was in the kitchen to go and beat him up. This 5'5" woman stepped in between this big burly drug dealer guy and her son and held him back. She tried to fight off this huge great bloke because her son was about to get beaten. She picked up a broomstick and started whacking him with it. She's 5'5", he's 6 foot something or other. Now, why did she do that? Because she was bold and alert to protect her child. There was something instinctive in her that cut in that says, I need to step in right now. And this is the kind of boldness and courage that Joshua and we are being called to. To step in into the impossible, because we have decided in our hearts and made a commitment in our hearts that we will pursue God regardless of what is set before us. Listen, we cannot reach our divine destiny in this world without God's strength and courage, I can assure you. You have to have courage to witness to the lost. Otherwise, you'll feel self-conscious and fail to speak on the Lord's behalf. We have to have courage to explore new opportunities. We have to have courage to connect to this community that we live in. We can't sit in here and hope they might notice us. We have to connect, but it takes courage to do so. It's going to take courage to make good use of the outback. This whole facility, I guess, really, to reach the community. We won't do it simply. It's going to take courage and courageous people. The Outback Youth Group was due to launch into the community in January. But it came up against a few challenges. which we're working through and dealing with. But we need strong, courageous people to step up and say, I will get involved in this opportunity. I want to say to you, I feel that the Outback Youth Group will become a flagship in our flotilla or whatever it is. Try and mix metaphors. Fleet, that's the word. But it's going to take courageous people to do it. People that are determined and committed to the task that's set before us, who say, yes, Lord, with all my heart, I'm going to do this. At the moment, there's a team that are beginning to look at lunchtime outreach opportunities to reach the people in this community during the day. It's going to take courage for people to do that. To day after day, step up and say, I'm here, what do you want me to do? Doesn't happen easily. And we can sit and say, well, these are great things. Yes, Lord, I want to see this happen. And then in that prayer, we almost imagine that it is happening. But God says, will you step in? Be courageous in this moment. It takes both. It's seeking the Lord with all your heart and he becomes revealed. It's pursuing as well as receiving. There's so much more we're going to have to achieve in the days ahead. I said earlier about how this church has been extraordinarily generous with its money. Incredible, incredible, incredible giving. But we depend on the giving of faithful people. We don't have an external organization that bankrolls the church. We believe that if God's work is done God's way, it will not lack God's supply. And God's supply is here with us, right now. And for us to achieve the future, yes, we need some clever clever fundraising. We need to think about how we can resource what's going forward. So Maria's been just this week chatting again to various different builders merchants. So we've got Howden's on side to give us a kitchen for the Outback. We've now got Travis Perkins on side who want to give us materials to complete the kitchen. We may have Principality Plastics on side to give us the furnishings around the walls so that we can hang stuff on and it's all hygienic. So there are great ways of also drawing from the community, but we as a church have to resource the future. It takes huge courage. Huge courage. And we can fear that if we give more of what we've got, we won't have sufficient for our families and we'll falter. But it takes huge courage to step up and say, what is it going to take us to do all that God has called us to do? Without courage, we would never be ready. God-inspired courage enables us to overcome our limitations and in so doing see greater victories. The greatest victories come when we step up in spite of our weaknesses. I want to share that. Now, the stories I shared last week about the challenges going way back. One of the things that was birthed out of one of the most challenging times in our lives was something called the Food Bank Network. In the midst of huge challenge where you think you don't have the strength to actually press through, something glorious emerges. And so in the midst of that, I'm in contact and communication with the Trussell Trust in Salisbury. There's a food bank in Salisbury. It's the origin. It's where the Food Bank Network started. In a garage, small sort of little warehouse really, packing up boxes, driving them out to people's homes. That's the way it started. Kelly and I went down there and began to chat with them. And we began to work out together how this thing might become something far bigger, a franchise. But I can assure you It wasn't from a place of great strength that these things happened. It was from a place of incredible weakness that God's strength became evident. And as we began to discuss and share together, and as we began to look at the future, we saw possibilities that there could be food banks in every town and city in this country. What started as a mustard seed, faithful people in Salisbury, the Trussell Trust, who had moved away from supporting children, well, they were still supporting children, but they'd moved into feeding the hungry in their locality. That small seed connects with others with faith. And then what you've got is what is now known as the food bank network, all over the country. All over the country. Where did it start? It started from the soil of weakness. And great things for God were achieved from that place. Why from the soil of weakness? So that man doesn't get the credit. The glory belongs to him. Or maybe in the soil of weakness, we recognize we don't have the strength and we call on him all the more. We have to, because otherwise it won't happen without his strength. The call on Joshua's life was to be strong and courageous. I wonder what God's calling you to be strong and courageous over right now. I could go into some of the other elements of this, how he was told to meditate on the word and why that's important. Because without the word of God, without knowing God's purposes, without knowing what he has done for us and the security we have in Christ, courage is sometimes in very shallow soil. A bit like a tree, when the wind blows, up it goes. I had to nail down a fence in that Jubilee house yesterday. And I had to put a strong structure to keep it in place because it was going sailing down the road if we weren't careful. And meditation on the Word of God is a strong structure on which to build courage. Psalm 119 says, I meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. This passage, meditate, means to bow down. Bow down to the purposes of God. And keeping his word close to us, in our mouths, muttering, musing the word of God as you go along your way to victory. So Joshua wasn't just given a random statement, go and be courageous. He had the word of God to back him up. The courage that God's calling us to requires for us to commit to the Word of God and His promises, as well as to the things that we believe God has set before us as a church. It's both and. Are you ready to be courageous? We're going to share some things next Sunday evening that we need to be courageous over, about the future. Are we ready to step up and say, God, I need divine courage to fulfill your purposes? Or will we say, yeah, that's a great idea, and maybe I'll get swept in? There are things that need to happen, but it will take people to stand up and say, I'm going to be courageous. I'll get involved. I'll do that. I wonder how you would have felt stood on the other side of the Jordan, knowing that what's set before you is both a promise and a challenge. How would you have felt? What would you have done with that moment? Would we have been like the other spies who came back and said, poof, too many giants over there. I really can't get involved. I've got to work some things out in my life before I get involved. But do we not know that from the place of deepest weakness come the moments of greater strength? David stood before a giant, did he not? He didn't assess the moment and say, but all I've got is a sling But I'll give you armor and a sword. No, 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 no. There's some giants that God wants you as individuals to conquer in your life. But it would take courage before the Lord and trust in his ways. And there are some giants set before us as the church, and it's going to take courage to stand and face and move forward into all that God has for us.